Welcome to church today. I'm Cliff. I'm leading the first part of our service before Martin's coming to preach to us later. Martin will be speaking to us about us being free to love because of God's love for us. And our main reading later in the service will be from John's Gospel. But I'd like us to start our service with a couple of verses from the first letter of John, which say, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. And it goes on to say, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. So let's thank God and praise him for the fact that he loves us and that he is love. If you're able, please stand to sing.
Yeah. do thank you for your love. Thank you that love is who you are, and that when we do take the time to stop and think about how your love is shown, how it impacts on our lives, that it is truly overwhelming. Thank you for that. Thank you that you love us as closer even than we know the love of a parent for a child. Thank you for your love, Lord. In our lives. Amen.
Amen.
So we've got a couple of notices, just as Rob makes his way up to give a notice. A couple brief ones from me. Last week we advertised that it was the new term of small groups. Not too late to sign up to those, so I'd really encourage you to, if you haven't as yet, particularly I would really encourage you to sign up to the discipleship groups. That's where real fellowship over prayer and Bible study and sharing lives together can take place, and where we can really continue to build community, build on what we do here on Sundays. So really encourage you to sign up to those groups if you haven't as yet. And also just a heads up, 2 weeks' time on the 10th of May we have a baptism, and 2 weeks after that on the 24th we have another baptism. So two things there to look forward to. Rob, over to you.
Great, good morning everyone. Great. A while ago I got up at a church meeting and talked about how 7 of our 15 youth volunteers are all moving on for various reasons, which is good for them, really good. It's nothing like they've fallen out of me or anything. And that there and then was an opportunity to pray for the youth ministry and the youth leaders and the recruitment that was to come. And I was adamant that that was not the point where I was recruiting leaders and doing a big push for it. Well, well, here we are. So, here's the big push. There is an opportunity, potentially, for this youth ministry to develop further and maybe sooner than what we were expecting with this change happening. And so I am looking for some helpers to help out with various things. But before I get into it, I'd like to show you a video of some various young people and some leaders as to why they help out or why they come to the activities that we put on. Then after that, I'm going to show you a nice pretty PowerPoint. And then after that, when church is all finished, there's going to be a rolling PowerPoint in the back room with some pieces of paper to have a look at. I'll give you more about that in a minute. If I can invite you to all watch the screens, please.
I come to Seoul because I think it's a really cool and fun place to just spend time with your friends and like do different things, learn different things, and you should join, you know.
I love God and I love snacks.
I come to Seoul because it gives me an opportunity to learn more about Jesus and eat cake.
Because my sister makes me and I really like it.
I come to Seoul because it's a great opportunity to have fellowship with my fellow young people and to dive deeper into God's word with fellow Christians my age.
There's good people, good food, and good chats about Jesus in scripture, and you get a chance to lead as well if you're there for long enough and get on the road to it.
Because it's really fun and you get to chat with a bunch of people that are around your age and have nice and comfortable conversations.
I volunteer at youth to do the Lord's work.
I help out with the youth because it's not that big a time commitment really, and it's something that I feel I can still fit into my week but also be serving God when I do, and occasionally having some nice chats with the kids about faith or about park runs or whatever else comes up.
I love volunteering with the youth because I think it's really important to invest in the next generation, and it's such a privilege to get to see them grow in their relationship with Jesus and then go out and share this with their friends and their family.
I love getting to talk to the young people about God and see their relationships with him grow over time. They're also just really fun and cool to talk to.
Yeah, I help out with the youth work because it's my job, but also I really enjoy it and think that it's important that the young people have a space where they can come, hang out with each other, eat good snacks, obviously, and have good, deep discussions about the Bible and topics and things that they are facing in school in an environment that is not judgmental. And they're a great bunch of young people, and we're always looking for more young people to join us and more volunteers. And now we're going to watch a little highlight video of our youth gathering that happened in March. Can we have the PowerPoint up, please? Great, so there you can see all the different youth activities that we do. Some are in here, some are in schools, and it's a mixture of discipleship stuff and outreach. Does this clicker work? Let's see. Yes, okay, so as you can see, this group here needs one female leader weekly or two female leaders fortnightly, and another leader fortnightly, okay? And then if I flick through this, it tells you what I need for each one of these different activities. But as I said, I'm losing seven people, so I could do with seven people, or maybe more if we can get it a bit more frequently, so you don't have to help out every week, or maybe every fortnight or once a month. So there you go. They're all the ones that need it. So over half of our groups are losing people. There is going to be a rolling PowerPoint at the back wall, as I said. There's going to be printouts of all of the different things that are there and all the different help that is needed. Please, can you seriously consider signing up just to know a bit more? Okay, well, that's all I want to do. I don't want anyone to think like they have to have a commitment and commit by doing this here and now, but just to have a conversation about whether this could be something that we do. This is a real church ministry thing where we need it to happen. And I need at least two people immediately just to have the groups to start for safeguarding reasons. So let's be real, I've got two little kids who love church and are all over the place. I'm not going to get all the conversations done today that I want to. So if you do sign up, we can have a chat more about it. The truth is, when you're watching that video, hopefully you felt encouraged. I felt encouraged. Hopefully you found it funny and amusing. I found it funny and amusing. That, at the end of the day, is what our youth ministry is like. If you cannot take yourself too seriously, have a bit of fun, have a laugh, learn a bit more about Jesus along the way, what's not to like? So please, I want to encourage you to go check out stuff at the back.
Great, thank you very much, Rob. So I had a moment this week, a moment where I caught myself doing something a bit unusual for me. I am pleased that, to my knowledge, no one else observed this thing, but I actually realised that I gave a skip for joy at something. Not just sort of in my mind or in my heart, but physically running along and giving a skip for joy. And that led me to be very thankful. And the idea of giving thanks to God for things. And I want us to, in a moment or two, to have a short time where we give thanks to God for something in this week. Now, we probably, given that many of us would have been brought up in church, we're probably very good at immediately wanting to go and thank God for his love, his faithfulness, his forgiveness. Absolutely right that we should do that. We may also thank him for answers to prayer. Certainly like this week, the answer to prayer, Steve Down has had a successful operation. He's home recovering well. We're thankful for that. But I wonder, are we good at thanking God for the things that just make us enjoy life? Now, some people here might be particularly into appreciating music or art. Other people enjoying, I don't know, watching the plants grow that they planted in the garden. These are things that we don't think of as spiritual, but God wants us to enjoy life. He created the world for us to enjoy. He wants us to live life in abundance, which I think means enjoying everything that he's given us. So we're going to see now the reason for my skip for joy this week. So if we can hit play on the screen. Wait for it. Now, some people, just to make clear, that is a young otter. That young otter was within quarter of a mile of here, and that was Wednesday evening, where on a walk along the river I saw that. I then saw its mum and another young as well, Now, I won't go into all the detail, but I came to Biggleswade 29 years ago in part to help make the river a good habitat, and that's the first otter I've seen. So that was my reason for joy and my skip for joy. And I had taken the video, sent it to Esther, got home, she hadn't seen her phone. I said, open your phone, open your phone. And actually, on one level, very silly. On another level, I think God was probably smiling that I was so happy at something that in some instances might be considered a bit inconsequential, not important. If you're not into wildlife, sorry, you've probably not really understood my excitement. However, I hope that this week there is something, something you've read, some music you've heard, a funny joke you heard, something that you got joy from and that are thankful for. And I'd invite you just in this next 30, 60 seconds, just quietly thank God for something that's given you joy this week. Dear Lord, we do thank you that you want us to enjoy life. Thank you that you give us things that make us smile and that give us that joy. We do thank you, of course, for the spiritual blessings that you give us, the answers to prayer that you give us. But we thank you for everything else that helps to make life good and enjoyable. And we do also thank you for the gifts, the facilities that we have as part of this church and the giving that enables our staffing and our activities to reach this community for you. And Lord, we want to further your kingdom and your glory in this town. So we thank you for the giving that's taken place over the last week and the month in various opportunities. But thank you for your generosity to us, and thank you that we can give to your work here. Amen. Amen. 26 years ago, Nick, who sat over there, and I, being a bit younger than we are now and significantly fitter than we are now, back in the year 2000, we ran in a race in which a world record was set. That might sound surprising. Now, to be fair, we didn't see that record being set. There were one or two people between us and Paula Radcliffe as she crossed the line at the Great North Run to set her world record. Today is the London Marathon, the full marathon, 26 miles, and about 50,000 people currently, gaining blisters around the streets of London. Lots of people, I think, like the idea of doing a marathon until they think about the training and the exercise that's needed, the perseverance and the endurance for there to be an outcome of that training. And the Christian faith is similar. Training, perseverance, exercising our faith, all for there to be some form of outcome. We don't do anything, we don't train for something to then not do it. We don't exercise to not have any benefit from it. And so we live our faith for there to be an outpouring of that. Our next song has an idea of putting our faith into practice, there being an action from what we have received from God. So please do stand to sing, if you're able, the next two songs, after the second song, if Sunday Club and Youth like to head out.
of every second.
Sunday club and youth activities like to head to where they're going. And we will pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the children, the young people, and the leaders who are all heading to their sessions now. We pray that they will have a good time, an enjoyable time, and pray that they will learn of you and connect with you during this time together. Lord, we do also pray for a couple of our friends, our church family here. Do pray for Jill this morning in her ongoing treatment. And do pray particularly this morning, Lord, that you will relieve the headache that she's got. Relieve the headache and release the infection. We do also pray for baby Aliana, Lord, and pray that the feeding really works out well and that young life can grow and thrive. Do each individually bring to you other people who we know need your healing touch at the moment. And Lord, we do thank you for answered prayers. We thank you that Ollie is here today. Thank you for the recovery from his initial treatment. Thank you, Steve, as said earlier, is recovering at home now. Thank you, Lord, for being with these people. Continue to work in them to bring complete healing. Amen. Okay, Jay is now going to bring us our reading, and then Martin will come to speak.
Cheers, mate. There may be some technical issues, but today's reading's from John 15, 9 to 17. If you want to open your Bibles, it's page 1083. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thanks. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Cliff. Morning, everyone. Morning. What a beautiful day it is again. Nice and freezing cold at the start, then you leave factor 50 at lunchtime, and then you need to put the heating on tonight. That's not my original, I found it on Facebook. As we're developing our theme of freedom, based on our church motto verse this year, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, we come today to explore what it means to have been set free to love as God has loved us. A lot of talk in our world about love, isn't there? And it's misdefined and all that sort of stuff. But I want to start by referring to one of the greatest songs of all time, which is Foreigners, I Want to Know What Love Is. Going back a few years now, but what a classic soft rock song that is. Haunting melody, great vocals. It's one of those songs that stands the test of time. Never mind the question at the heart of the song that people have asked for centuries. Maybe not using those exact words, but I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I know you can show me. And, you know, that could easily be the words of a prayer, couldn't it? Something maybe you've prayed similarly to God. I want to know what your love is. I want you to show me. And it's one thing to know, but it's another thing to feel, isn't it? I want to feel your love, God. I know you can show me. And these words do get to the heart of the human condition, that while we're created out of love to be loved, we still struggle to understand exactly what love is. And let's be honest, if we go the definition that we see of love on TV or at the movies, we think that love only involves a physical act of love, normally ending up with two people just meeting each other, jumping into bed, and then telling each other they love each other afterwards. And while sex is a very important way to demonstrate love within the covenant of marriage, true love is based on much more than physical attraction and feelings, which, if we take them on their own, can cause us to find ourselves tied up in chains all over again. And remember, it's for freedom we've been set free. Freedom to live the way that God wants us to live. Many a person, after a one-night stand, ends up feeling dirty and used and back in chains again. And so today's passage talks about the freedom we have in Christ to love. And it points us to the type of love that keeps us free and helps us to flourish. And we find it in the first three verses of today's passage, where Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." Some of us in this room will have read those verses many, many times and possibly just skipped over them. But there's real power in these verses, and it's worth repeating, so I'm going to repeat it. "As the Father has loved me," says Jesus, "so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." And in the song it says, "I need to take a little time to think things over." And that's exactly what we need too, and what we're going to do for the next few moments as we explore exactly what this love is that we are free to share with when we know the truth. And it seems we're invited to consider three factors of this love. First of all, there's God's love for Jesus. Then there's Jesus' love for us. And then there's our love for others. And we can be treading on holy mysteries here as we consider that first factor, the love that God the Father has for Jesus. Possibly don't think about it very often, but the love that God the Father has for Jesus. It's an eternal love. It's a love that began before the beginning of time. It's a love that will go on beyond the end of time. And in many ways, it's just so massive that it's really hard to put it into words. But I'm going to have a go. And I've got a little cheat code for us all this morning. If you want to know about the love that God the Father has for Jesus, look at the love that Jesus has for you and for me. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." So if you want to know how the Father loves Jesus, think about what the Bible says about the love that Jesus has for us. Because that reveals so much. Let's just scratch the surface a little bit. The Father loves Jesus unconditionally. No limits, no boundaries, no need to earn the love, no need to prove yourself for the love. God loves Jesus because God loves Jesus. Jesus loves you and me because Jesus loves you and me. God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God makes the first move. He doesn't wait until Martin's good enough or holy enough or well-behaved enough or anything enough. God decides, "I've created Martin. I love Martin because he's Martin." Good job somebody does. And it's the same for all of us. God doesn't wait until we're good enough. God doesn't wait until we're perfect. God doesn't wait until we keep all the laws. Because we heard last week that the law is a thing that binds us into captivity. And Jesus comes to set us free from the captivity of the law. So God says, "I'm not going to wait till they're good enough. I'm going to send my son now." And so God sends his son while you and I are still sinners. While we're still God's enemies. While we're still not interested in him at all. And he says, "I love you. Here's my son." Jesus loves us unconditionally and proactively. And that's how the Father loves Jesus. And it's how the Father loves you and me too. The Father's love for Jesus, we can work out, is generous and sacrificial. You know, sometimes if you do this, I'll give you that, can come across in our world, can't it? Even in our families and things. That's not God. God says, because I love you, I want to give you everything. I want to give you everything. And God holds nothing back. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gave the very best that he had so that we could know his love. What's the best thing that you have? Are you prepared to give it away? It might be your car, it might be your house, it might be your salary. It might be your golf clubs or your guitar or your drum kit or your crochet set. I'm starting to struggle now, aren't I? Those lovely non-stick pans that you got for Christmas. What's the one thing, I guess, that you would make sure you rescue from your house if your house is on fire? And I'm assuming in that, wife and children, any other relatives, that's a given, okay? But what one thing could you not do without that you'd rescue? God gave so much more than that because he loves you, because he loves me. God's love doesn't hold anything back. That's sounding pretty good, this love, already, isn't it? To be loved like that. That's what people search for. That's what people get caught up in messy relationships for. It's what they get caught up in bad habits for, because they're searching for this kind of love. It's what some people punish their bodies for through going to the gym 9 times a week or however many times a week it is that they go. As you can see, I don't agree with that particular practice. Then it gets even better. God's love is stronger than death. If you look in Romans 8, verse 38, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing in the entire created order, whether that's a pope or a president or a dictator or a king, or anything else, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that we are loved with a love that is unbreakable, and we know that we are loved with a love that is stronger than death. This is the love which the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves you and me. Touched on it already, but his love is eternal. There's no end and there's no beginning. And he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Again, you don't need to get God to love you, because I don't think any of us, and I've said this before, I know, it's probably getting boring now, but none of us were around before the creation of the world. But God chose you and me in Christ to become part of his family because he loves us before he created the world. His love is transforming. It's life-giving because of his great love for us. God made us alive with Christ. Before Christ, we might think we're alive, but we're not, because we're living in the shadow of sin and death and hell, and we're tied up in the chains of slavery of those things. But when we find Jesus, or more correctly, when Jesus makes himself known to us, we become truly alive. That's what we talk about being born again. It's a new life. It's a new start. We change and we start to really live. Ever felt on the edge of a group? Ever felt that you didn't quite fit in? Ever felt a bit lonely? God's love is affirming and it's accepting. Jesus says in this passage, "You are all my friends, and greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." His love is all-powerful. Makes us more than conquerors. You feeling battered this week? Are you feeling you're on a losing wicket? The love that God shows for Jesus and the love that Jesus shows for you to give you freedom makes you more than a conqueror, no matter what's going on. I could go on for ages like this, but I won't. Hopefully you're getting the idea about just the massiveness, or as my children used to say, the mahoosiveness of the love of God. It's just so big. And Paul in Ephesians, doesn't he, prays that prayer that we would begin to know and understand how wide and how deep and how great the love of God for us in Christ is. It's Ephesians chapter 2. And when you look at the life of Jesus, you see him loving people in this way. You see him living in this way. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, I and the Father are one. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. It's the Father living in me who's doing his work. So in short, whenever we see Jesus loving other people, we see the love that God the Father has for Jesus, because Jesus says he only does what the Father has shown him. Our vocabulary is so limited. So we get excited when we sing, amazing love, how can it be? Or, I'm lost in wonder. Or, how great thou art. And in short, God's love for Jesus then is a perfect, complete love from before time began. And Jesus' love for you and for me is a perfect, complete love from before time began. It's the same love. So if you ever want to know how God loves you, look at Jesus. If you ever want to know how God loves Jesus, look at Jesus. Because it's the same love. And when we know the truth about this love, the truth shall set us free. And we are set free to love as we are loved. We are set free to love in exactly the same way that Jesus loves us. Just think about that for a minute. I'll have a slurp of squash. Here in John 15, Jesus tells us, love each other as I have loved you. Now, this is where it gets a bit difficult. If I was to say, put your hand up if you're really happy to have heard how God loves you this morning, everybody would put their hand up. Because it's just great to know that we are loved in that way. Still working on letting our faces know, but that's no problem. We're always happy to hear how God loves us. We're always ready to receive his love. But sometimes we don't get quite so excited about sharing it with others. Or rather, we can be a bit selective about sharing it with others, saving it for those we like, those who are like us, maybe. It's easy to love people who like us, isn't it? It's easy to love people who are like us as well. You know, in my own life, I find it much easier to get on with Chelsea fans than Tottenham. Well done for the win yesterday, Bob and Doug. It was Wolves, but still a win. And there are people, even in our church family, that are quite hard to love. Because they're annoying. Because they're irritating. Bob, I wasn't looking at you, but if the cap fits, mate. Or because they are simply different to us. Maybe they've even hurt us in the past. Or they've fallen out with us over something. And so we'd rather hold on to the grudge and withhold love and forgiveness. But that only harms us in the long run. We follow one who says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Don't like that bit quite so much. Because if we're called to love as the Father loves Jesus and as Jesus loves us, This is what we're called to do. We're called to love our enemies. We're called to do good to those who hate us. I'm pretty sure there's nobody in this church who hates anybody else in this church. But what about everybody out there? Because we're called to show this love to the world outside of these walls. We're called to show this love to people like Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump. Always gets a laugh when I mention his name, don't know why. Pete Hegseth, Keir Starmer, Zach Polanski, who? Yeah. Leader of the Green Party, John. Where have you been? That person at work who dropped you in it with the boss. That person from years ago who really hurt you. If we're to be free to love each other as Christ has loved us, it's a real challenge. And if we say we can't do this or we won't do this, we've not yet stepped into the freedom that comes from knowing we're loved as the Father loved Jesus. Because that freedom means we don't have to worry about what other people think about us. We recognise that they've hurt us, yes. We recognise that there's a problem, yes. But we also recognise that we are secure in the greatest love in the whole of creation, and nothing can separate us from that love, not even being friends with a Tottenham fan. Or an Arsenal fan. Not so sure about Man United. And relationships, if you've ever been in one, you know that relationships have their ups and their downs. In couples, in families, in communities, in churches. A lot of people say, I wish the church could be like it was in the New Testament times. Really? If you get underneath the letters that Paul writes to the churches, basically he's telling them off for falling out with each other all the time. Interesting that, isn't it? In relationships there are ups and downs, but we have been given the freedom and the security in the love that Christ has for us to love each other as he loves us, which we've thought about already. I wonder how many times Jesus looks at a church and goes, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. What about the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation? Jesus challenging the churches to be more like him. We have the opportunity to be Christ to each other when we love each other in the way that Christ loves us. And what a witness and testimony that would be to those around us who don't know him yet. What a witness, what a challenge to us and to them. And Jesus says in verse 10 of today's passage, he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And he has the right to say this. He absolutely has the right to say this, because he's already done everything that love can do for you and for me, culminating in giving his life for us, verses 13 to 15. And again, when we know that we're loved unconditionally, when we know we're loved eternally, when we know we're loved perfectly like this, remember that's the love the Father has for Jesus, Jesus has for us, we can begin to walk in freedom to love that way in turn. Forgiving others, accepting the stranger, empowering each other, freeing and healing others even in the name of Jesus, because we're living in his love and in his will. He frees us to love, and as we enter into this freedom, we become more like him, which inspires us to go on being more like him. And so we grow in the grace and love of Christ, even as we share it with others. Right up to the extent of laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters, just as he did for us. So to go back to the song, I want to know what love is. Jesus shows us what love is. As Cliff said at the start, God is love. He makes it possible for us to do more than just know love, though. He makes it possible for us to feel what love truly is. And in him, love finds us and sets us free to love others. Because being a Christian, it's not just about believing the right stuff. It's not just about coming to church, great as though it is, to come together, to worship together and to learn together. It's letting what we believe affect and empower our lives. And that's where the battle is. That's where the battle is. We've been brought up in a society that says if you read something and you know it, that's it. But the Bible says read it, know it, and then put it into practice. I've got some questions for us. And we're going to have a slightly longer time at the end to allow us to respond if we would like to do so. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the questions. Do we know this freedom to love, because we know we are loved? How is this freedom seen in our daily lives and relationships? Or is it hidden because we'd rather go back to the captivity of resentment, pride, anger, and bitterness towards others? I think many of us here today need to hear these words of Jesus and let them penetrate beyond this, into our whole life. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Let's let that sink in right now. Imagine God standing right in front of you or sitting next to you, and he's saying, Jesus is saying, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. This is how we are loved. This is how much we are loved. We need to remember to let Jesus tell us how much we are loved. And it's also how we are called to love others. I guess a literal interpretation would be for one of us to go up to somebody else in this church and say, as Jesus has loved me, so I love you. These words call for a response. Some of us, we need to repent of holding grudges. We need to repent of anger towards brothers and sisters. Some of us need to repent of causing rifts in relationships. Some of us need to reach out in love and forgiveness. Remember, God didn't wait till we were perfect. And if we're waiting for someone who's hurt us to come and say sorry, we're not living in the freedom of the love that Jesus has given us. All of us who claim to follow Christ need to open ourselves up to his love for our own good and be committed to sharing it with others, starting here in the family of God. Maybe it's as simple as saying to somebody, do you know how much you are loved? And maybe there's someone here today, you've never realised that. You've never realised how deeply you are loved by God. And today's been a bit of a revelation. Well, I want to invite you to accept his love for you in Jesus today. Just as you are, knowing that in his love, he will forgive you, he will heal you and transform you. If you want to know what love is, look at Jesus. If you want to feel what love is, come to Jesus. And we wanted to make time to enable us to respond to those invitations, to those questions. We've beefed up the prayer team for this week. There'll be a few more people down the front ready to pray with you. And remember, just if you just want more of God's love in your life, come and ask someone to pray for you, pray with you. If you want to know more about how much you are loved, there's no better way than committing it in prayer with somebody else. And it doesn't have to be the people at the front, it can be the person next to you. Just ask them to pray for you if they're a praying person. It may be that you need to come in repentance. It may be that you need to come saying, I know I need to go and forgive somebody, but I'm finding that really, really hard. I need God's help and God's strength. We're going to sing a couple of quieter, reflective songs. And during that time, I just want to invite you to respond to God. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Reflect on how much you are loved and receive that love afresh. I want to invite those who are going to be praying to come down the front now so that you're here ready, please. And maybe while we're all busy singing, that's the great time for you to come and ask for prayer. Please do take the opportunity as it's offered to you. God wants you to know how deeply you are loved. And all I'm going to do now is say, just make that response. It might be standing there with your hands open like this. It might be kneeling. It might be coming to get prayer. It might be staying where you are, asking to be prayed for. Whatever it takes, whatever's right for you, respond to God in this moment. And then after we've sung the second song, we'll see how things are going. And if we need to stretch it out a bit more, we will. If we're ready to stop, then stop we will. But let's not miss the chance to go deeper into this freedom that God has for us to love and to be loved as he has loved us. Okay. Thanks, Sam.
I'm
Of the Apostle Paul. I pray that out of God's glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to show this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please do come and get some prayer. Please do hang around, have a chat. If you're ready for tea and coffee, they're through there as usual. God bless you, and we'll see you again soon.